and Mr. Steven Richardson.
I want to ask you a question about work today. Now, most of us go to work and have work that we need to do. What is work? How would you define work? So this last week, my students had to do this because last week I went to work to teach. So that's for me, that's my work is teaching. And I taught them the concept, the physical concept or the physical property, work. Now, physics defines work as applying a force, you know, a push or a pull, across some distance. And technically speaking, we call it displacement. So if you push on something or pull on something and it moves a certain distance, then according to physics, you've done work. You've accomplished work. So that's the physical definition of work, is applying a force across some distance. Now, I mentioned that my work is teaching, so I was actually doing all of those things last week. I was literally at work teaching work. You know, we do work all the time. I mean, if you were sweeping the floor, well, you're sweeping the floor, you're applying a push or maybe a pull, and stuff is moving across some distance. And this is where the mass comes into play. You know, this stuff has mass. That's officially doing work in physics, but that's also what we every day think of as something that's work. You know, we might be washing your clothes, doing the laundry, keeping your house clean, washing the windows, keeping your car clean. These things are all what we'd call work. If you use a computer, even with the physical definition of work, you're doing work. Because when you push on the mouse, you're applying a force across some displacement. So pushing the mouse is doing work. When you're typing on a keyboard, same thing. When you push down with your fingers, you apply a force, and those keys move down a little bit. So there's a displacement. So, yeah, working on the computer, doing that kind of work, I mean, that's officially physical work, but it's also, you know, mental work too. In fact, that's what I do as a teacher. I do mental work, and I think about what to teach, and I assess my students and do what I can to communicate with them. You know, work is an important part of our lives. Everybody here does work. And actually, at the Sabbath, this is one thing when I was working on this message that I just thought of that I've never really thought of before. When the Sabbath comes, part of keeping the Sabbath is being thankful for the fruit of your labor. You take a look at your house, you say, I have this house because I work hard. You know, I work hard to pay the mortgage. Or I have a hobby of doing landscaping, and I have my house landscaped, and it's pretty amazing, if I must say. See, there comes my yard vanity. My wife has been telling me to watch my yard vanity because, you know, I've been saying my yard looks better than everybody else. And you know. But I did repent of this at Passover. But anyway, no, I like studying, you know, what kind of plants go where and all of that. And so every Sabbath I go outside and sit down and enjoy the garden. And I'm reaping the benefits of that hard work. And, you know, that's an important part of keeping the Sabbath, I think. It's kind of interesting. You know, we don't do work on the Sabbath day, but yet we can appreciate the fruit of our labor on the Sabbath. So here's a generic dictionary definition of work. So I'll give you a couple definitions here. First definition, actively involving in mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. So that's your dictionary definition. Here's another one. Mental or physical activity as a means of earning income or, you know, it's employment. So, you know, that's what the everyday concept of work is for most people, is it's your job. You know, you go to your job and you work for an employer and you make money and that, you know, you take care of yourself because you make that money. Well, let's take a look and see what God has to say about work. God wants us to work. It says so in Scripture. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible that address work. Let's turn to Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. So Exodus 20. You should know this set of scripture, right? This is memory scripture. So Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We can glean out of this scripture, this commandment, that we should work. It says work 6 days. It says 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I actually teach 4 days out of the week. So I'm not working 6 days. Well, actually I am. Well, because I have another business. I have a landscaping business, too, that I do on Fridays, the day I'm not teaching, and I do it on Sunday, which is the first work day, right? Sunday is the first work day. You know, I do work 6 days, actually. And some of you might have a job that's only 5 days a week, or you might work part-time. But, you know, this kind of work that we do, it could be working for an employer officially and getting a paycheck and paying taxes and all of that. But it could also be other kinds of things. If you're at home, taking care of your home, being a good steward of your blessings. Now, these things are work, and there are spiritual aspects of our lives that are work, too. There are many things that we can do that are spiritually doing God's work. We get the idea here that God wants us to work, and the big example here is in the creation. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, worked very hard for 6 days to restore creation, and then on the seventh day, he rested. And that's our example. To keep working and work hard, and then on the seventh day, rest, because it's a holy day. It's the Sabbath. So we are to become like God in Jesus Christ, so therefore we should work 6 days. Well, maybe your job doesn't cover all of those 6 days, but there's other time to do other things. So if you're retired, you know, you're not working. Well, that's not true. I have a lot of friends that are retired. I hang out with a kind of a nerdy community of people who are into herpetology, and a lot of these men have been doing this for a long time, and you know, they're retired men, and I kind of envy them sometimes because they can go all out into the desert and go hiking whenever they want to and do all kinds of things. But I talk to them and I find out, no, they're serving their family, taking care of their some of them still have their parents still alive, they're taking care of them, they help them. They go grocery shopping for them. Now, retired people, they do a lot of things. You do a lot of things to take care of yourself. You got to, again, be a good steward of the blessings that God gave you. It takes work to take care of those things. So, yeah, no matter how you look at this, you got to do work 6 days a week. So here's a good question. How good are you at your work? Should we be good at our work? What's our mindset while we work? What is our motivation for working? You know, it's important to work to the best of our ability. Now, so here's something to keep in mind. Let's take a look in Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 22 through 24. We're going to find out here that we work to honor God. So it says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that for the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So when we do our work, we need to remember, we're not just doing it for the employer. We're not just doing it for our customers or our clients. We're doing it to honor God. We should work to the best of our ability. And, of course, you know, that's being a good example as well. But we honor God when we work and when we do our work well. You know, being a professional educator, I do my job. I teach my students. I have a lot of colleagues I work with that do the same thing. But there's differences in instructors. You know, students pick this up right away. You know, some teachers get the bare bones job done. They disseminate the information, assign homework, grade the work, and assign grades. But, you know, to me, teaching is much deeper than that. You go way above and beyond that. You assess your students, and when they don't do so well, come bug them about it. Say, hey, you didn't do so well in that test. This is a problem. And for some of my students, it's a major problem because if they don't get a 75% or higher on their grade, they can't move on in their program because it's a medical program. A lot of them are medical programs. And so they have to have a certain GPA. So I have to say, you know what? We're in danger of not making that goal. Let's make a plan. Let's make a plan to get the help you need, study the stuff that you need to study, and then maybe we can schedule to retake the exam. Now, I don't have to let students take the exam more than once. That's not a school policy. But I do. And that's doing my work a little bit beyond what most people would expect. Some professors get on my case for it. They come up to me and say, you shouldn't do that for the students. I said, well, you know, don't you want them to learn? Don't you want them to move on? You know, what's going to happen if they don't make it into your class? Guess what? You don't have students to teach, and that means you don't need to be there. Ever think about that? Well, you know, you get the idea. And this does happen. I have a very small class right now of algebra students. I have two algebra students, 2 days in the morning. Originally, it was six. They were a group of respiratory therapists that started the program late, and they needed to make up their GE classes, and they needed them to be in mathematics so that they could do well in chemistry and physics. And we see what happened is they were in chemistry before algebra, which is not ideal. And the instructor that I work with, you know, understood that and did what he could to help him. But four out of the six decided they didn't need to work hard and didn't do homework. So therefore, I have the smallest algebra class on the planet. Two students. I guess one would be the smallest, right? But, you know, the students didn't work hard, and, you know, maybe the instructor could have helped them a little bit more. And honestly, I believe that's the case. Okay, so we should do our work to honor God. Everything that we do, think about the jobs that you do when nobody's around to see what you're doing. Sometimes we're not really highly accountable for what we do. You know, I grew up working with my father doing landscaping, and we do a lot of plumbing jobs for irrigation systems. And we dig up the stuff, and we go, what were they doing? They would put in very cheap pipe, and it would all be wrong, and it would get buried, and nobody knew about it. Now, that's not honoring, you know, your job, your profession. You know, if you're honoring God as an irrigation, as you do landscaping, you would put in the good pipe, and you would do it right so that it wouldn't be a problem later on. You know, some jobs you just have to do well, sometimes without recognition. But then we should remember that in our jobs. Do a good job because we honor God when we do a good job. And when you go above and beyond, you know, that's what God expects of us. And there are benefits of that. If you go above and beyond what's expected of you, that's how you get the next job that pays higher, right? That's how you get raises, or that's how you get new clients, or, you know, more ways to earn income. So that's an important principle, and I try to teach that to my students. Well, here's another reason that we should work hard, and that we should do work. We should be good stewards of the blessings that God has given us. You know, I feel very thankful that we live in the mountains and that we have a mountain community and that we have a house there. We worked very hard to get that, and we had to be very patient to have the opportunity. And so now that I have this home, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job with the landscaping because I already told you about my yard vanity. But, you know, there are things to do to take care of the home, and we should do that. Because if I take good care of my home, I'm taking care of the blessing that God gave me. And, of course, it honors my neighbors as well, because if I take good care of my home, it's valuable and it increases their property value. Right? So we have a lot of blessings. Our vehicle, our mode of transportation, we should take care of that. Keep it clean. Give it an oil change when it needs it. That's work. That's work, taking care of the blessings that we have. Being a good steward of our blessings. And even, you know, just our relationships, taking care and working to maintain good relationships with our family, our friends, our community, that's work, and that's a blessing. The relationships that we have here as brethren and that we have as family, that's a blessing. We need to be good stewards of those blessings. Let's read about that a little bit in Proverbs. Let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. We're going to read verses 30 through 34. Now, I'll tell you right now, there's so many scriptures in Proverbs about work. A lot of information there, a lot of interesting proverbs. It says here in chapter 24, verses 30 through 34, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. So the lazy man is not being a good steward of the field, of the garden. So while I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So this comes with a warning. If we're not a good steward of what we have and of the blessings that we have, you know, we could find ourselves wanting, find ourselves in need. So that's an important principle. I mean, we're given a lot of things. We live in a rich country. We're blessed with so much. We have so much food available to us, and we still have great rights in this country, guaranteed. And it's a blessing to be here, and we need to be thankful for those blessings, and take care of them, and work to preserve them, lest we do without. And that's something to remember. You know, we should work to be a good steward of the blessings that God has given us. Here's another important work concept, a spiritual work concept. We should work to make the lives of others better. We should do work to make the lives of others better. Let's turn to Proverbs again on this one, Proverbs 21, Proverbs chapter 21. Now, one tool I used to motivate some of the respiratory therapists at my school is I said, you know what, someday you're going to save lives. This is the time to work hard so you can gain the education and the skills that you need to finish this program and to be able to save lives. So if they work hard, they're working hard someday to make the lives of other people better. I mean, that's what people do as public servants, or if you're in the medical field, you do it because you want to help. And that should be part of our motivation to work. It says in Proverbs 21, it says in verse 25, it says, the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. So if we work hard and we have the resources, we can help people. We can give some of it away. Now, we have to have good judgment when we do that, but you know, we can help people in need. And that's a good motivation for doing work. Work so that we can make the lives of other people better. And, you know, I'm going to honor my in-laws today because I grew up in the church and I grew up, you know, with them and my wife. I've seen them do a lot of things for kids for camp. Every single year for I don't know how long, they've sent kids to camp. They work hard, they have their money, and they give some of that money away to send these kids to camp. Right now, my wife and I are very blessed, but we don't have a lot of extra money right now. A lot of things came up, expenses. Guess who we're sending my kids to camp? If they did not work, they would not have those resources to do that. And that right there is a good reason to, you know, to earn some extra money, to have a little wealth on hand so that you can help people. Here's a way that we can work hard and help other people. We work hard and we pay tithe on the money that we make. Where does that money go? If it wasn't for tithe paying, the work of God as we know it today wouldn't get done. Right now, we have a huge amount of information, learning the materials associated with God's word that people have access to. Tithing helps support that. Tithing helps support a ministry that helps people. How much education do we get from the ministers leading God's people and nurturing God's people? If we didn't pay our tithes, then that money wouldn't be there to get those things done. That's working hard to make the lives of other people better. It's an important principle, tithing. Okay, so my last point here is to never cease to do the work of God. Never cease to do the work of God. You know, we just received a lot of instruction during the days of unleavened bread. We went through Passover. A lot of spiritual lessons to learn from that. The thing of it is we shouldn't stop thinking about those messages. We should continue to overcome sin, continue to seek righteousness. We should never stop working towards that end. We have an opportunity to know the truth of God and to be a part of it right now, to be part of the first fruits. And that's a great blessing. And we should never, never cease to be zealous about that. There's a word for you, zealous. What is zeal? Zeal is a strong interest or devotion. It's enthusiasm. That's what zeal is. And we should be zealous for the work of God. We should continually to overcome, not just during one season of the year. We should continually serve God's people. We should pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians, that's what it says. It says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. This is an ongoing thing. It's 24/7, and in fact, it's till the very end. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to endure until the end. To the end of our lives or until the return of Jesus Christ. We should never cease to do the work of God. To be enthusiastic about it, to be zealous about it, and just to learn more about the Bible and the truth of God and be able to give answers when we're asked questions, the hard questions especially. Always pray for God to return and bring his son Jesus Christ to us as our leader and to restore things and just to share our knowledge with other people and with each other. This is a never-ending story. At least until the return of Jesus Christ. But actually, that's not the end. Because what's going to happen to God's people when Jesus Christ returns? We're going to go to work. We're going to be serving people in the millennium, during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be continually working for God. Brethren, it is clear that God wants us to work. God wants us to be physically productive, spiritually productive. He wants us to work hard so that we can make the lives of other people better. Now, we've got to remember, we're not just working for our clients. We're not working for a boss. We're doing our work because we want to honor God. We should work hard because of that. And we should work hard to help do the work of God by being productive every day. Well, it says 6 days of the week, right? But there's some work that never stops. Some work that never stops. So we should remember to serve other people, keep overcoming, and working towards righteousness. This is the job of all Christians, and this is the job all the way until the very end.